Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Betty Turner. Betty Turner is a mixed media artist, and she specializes in character illustration. Hi, Betty. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Emily.
Yep. So I met you at the Off the Beaten Path tour, and I got to see your home. I got to meet you and your husband, who's also an artist, and I was intrigued with your style.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I really liked how you were taking this approach where you were creating art and then you were putting it on greeting cards and making that, you know, very accessible to people. And you actually brought me a greeting card today, and it's quite lovely, and it looks like something that you would give out to a girlfriend.
Yes. I think most of my cards pertain to women,
mm-hmm.
and they're whimsical,
yeah.
funny. And a lot of women that are getting older.
Yeah.
And sort of the funny side and the challenges of as we get older.
Yep. So you brought a card in and it says, "Life is just a bowler of chocolate covered cherries." And at first I didn't know what bowler was. And then you explained to me that it's a type of hat, and it's a woman, and she has a hat on,
mm-hmm.
with a cherry at the top, and her hat is actually a bowler. So I got to learn something new today. And so this particular woman, was she something that you created out of your head, or?
Well, kind of, but yeah. She also reminds me a lot of my husband Jack's granddaughter.
Oh.
And she looks a lot like that. And the chocolate-covered cherries, my family, we have a joke about chocolate-covered cherries. And when Christmas season starts, we start taking pictures of chocolate-covered boxes of chocolate-covered cherries in the stores that we go in.
Oh.
It's just kind of a running joke in our family, and we will send those pictures, text them back and forth to each other. So it was just kind of something fun to do, and I did it to share with my family.
So our the images that you're creating, do they mostly come from people around you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All of them pretty much do.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So that makes it really fun.
It does. Yeah, yeah, it really does. Yeah. And, you know, people just say funny things and, mm-hmm. You know, just have fun characteristics. And it's just humor in a nice way.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. A very nice way. So
yeah.
How old were you when you started drawing and painting?
I have always done art in some way. In fact, I think I was 5 years old, and I can remember I would do these drawings, and I set up a little stand in front of our house. We were living in Birmingham, Alabama. My dad was in the military, so we traveled a lot. And we were in front of a busy highway, and some lady stopped, and she bought one of my drawings. I was so thrilled, and I guess I was just hooked. I just enjoyed drawing, especially illustration.
Yeah, and there's something about that when people are interested in your art so much that they want to, like, take their wallet out and get the money for it.
I know.
It gives you some kind of a thrill, doesn't it?
She probably paid me a nickel for it. I don't know how much it was, but I was thrilled.
You were like, I'm on a roll.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And my mother really encouraged me throughout my lifetime. Yeah.
So did you go to school for art, or did you go to school for something else, or did you stay at home?
Well, I did go to school. I went 2 years. I majored in art, and then I met my late husband, and we married. But it's something I had always done throughout my life in school. Teachers, when I was in high school, teachers would ask me to do charts for them, you know, just different things like that. And I was always open to do it, doing mm-hmm. things like that. And it was fun. And, you know, it's just pretty much something I've done all my life.
Yeah, well, I can tell by looking at it, you've been doing it forever, because it's lovely.
Yeah, at this age, yeah, it seems pretty forever now.
Yeah, well, yeah. It seems like you've gotten this very branded style that is completely your own. And so how would you brand it? How would you
Well,
describe it?
You know, that's been a challenge. But I was And when I was working, I had owned a custom picture framing business, and that's sort of the way I chose to make a living with my creativity and my art. It seemed like a pretty practical thing to do in a small town. And I guess, you know, I kept thinking that when I retired, I would do something like this for fun and just something that I've always loved to give cards, to send cards to people. And, you know, it's just we don't do mail much anymore. And so, but it has been a challenge as far as how to market it mm-hmm. in this area. But that's part of the fun, too, is learning how to do that.
Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as The Scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Jack Leib, who is a abstract expressionistic artist. Mm-hmm. Did I get it all?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jack, you focus on acrylics, correct?
I focus primarily on acrylics and watercolor. I like both
That's
of them.
Right.
I switch back and forth regularly.
Okay.
And
what's your subject matter?
My subject matter varies from complete non-objective art, which is completely abstract, to recognizable objects like hearts and pears and pineapples. I've done a few of those recently.
So what are some of your favorite tools to use when you're creating?
That varies from time to time. I really love to experiment with different materials. When I was in graduate school, my mother was a medical librarian's technician at a hospital in Waterloo, Iowa. And she could see that I like to play around with different materials, and she wanted to know if I could use any x-rays in my work. At that time, they had, you know, large x-rays of people's bones and this and that. And I said, sure, bring a whole bunch of them home. And so I took those to the jewelry room, and on a large piece of plywood, I stapled some, like one end down, and in the jewelry room, they had a torch in which I could get a flame that was about 2 feet long or so, and I would heat up those x-rays, and the x-rays would begin to curl around and melt together, and so there were these beautiful blacks and grays and blue greens and blacks, and sometimes you could see a little bit of some bones or something. And so this was these would curl all up and do exciting shapes. And then I would take linoleum paste and add that to it. So then I had kind of yellow ochre colors against the blues. And so that was very, very interesting. Now, what I do today is I experiment with a lot of different kinds of techniques with primarily acrylics and adding collage, sometimes netting that I might get from after Halloween where all of this little cloth netting is available, or Tyvek paper is a marvelous material. And so a person can actually take a heat gun and warm up or heat up Tyvek paper, and it begins to curl around and do very interesting things in a somewhat similar way as those x-rays did that I did years and years ago.
Isn't that interesting?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
In fact, you can make beautiful banners out of Tyvek paper, and that's just a building material that you can buy at any building center.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you brand your style of art?
That's a good question. I think it looks, to me, much of the work looks very expressionistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so interested in illustration.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit stiff to me, even though there's illustrators that I love.
You're very loose.
Incredibly loose.
I love to splash the paint on. And yeah. In fact, I had to get a few old rugs to put on my studio floor because I was getting so much paint on it. But with the watercolors, it's a little bit more organized. Sometimes I will start off with a watercolor with a little sketch, a little value sketch, lights and darks. And this gives me a little bit more of a direction as to where I'm going to go. And Betty and I took a workshop not so long ago with a man by the name of Frank Francesi. And he had a wonderful idea of using different kinds of pens, felt tip markers that were grays. So you can get a light gray, a mid-tone gray, and a very dark gray or a black. And so you can easily come up with three values, and you can sketch that in all so quickly. You don't have to spend a great deal of time. And if you do, let's say, several sketches of a landscape or figures or pears or sunflowers, whatever you're going to do, it can all happen all so quickly, and then you can get on with the painting. And if you just refer to your sketch to remind you where the values go, mm-hmm. I'm much farther ahead.
Ah.
And I don't have to go back and correct and correct and correct.
Well, it was a pleasure speaking with you today, Jack. How can people find your work outside of the Off the Beaten Path tour?
I'm on Facebook. Jack Loeb, it's spelled like L-O-E-B, even though I pronounce it differently. So Facebook is one avenue, and I've got some things at the Appalachian Center for Crafts. There's a few paintings there, and some over Woodbury at the Cannon County Art Center. And I also have a website, jackloeb.com. And oftentimes when I teach classes, I post these on Facebook, too, in case anyone's interested in doing a workshop in watercolor or acrylics.
Yeah, and I highly recommend taking one of your classes.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming out today, Jack.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, so when you're creating these beautiful cards, so you start first, you know, with, is it paint? Is it ink? How are you doing it?
I start with an illustration, a drawing, okay. Usually an idea, a drawing. This one of I call it my Valentine card. I just sort of had an idea of chocolate-covered cherries, because my family loves chocolate-covered mm-hmm. cherries. And when I started drawing it, as I was drawing it, the young girl who is that I illustrated reminded me a lot of my husband Jack's granddaughter. And so I started with a sketch, and then from there I will do a pretty complete sketch. I'm pretty methodical about the way I work. And then I will transfer that to my usually watercolor paper. I like to work on a smooth watercolor paper, 140-pound, and I will do a watercolor of that. And then from there, I will ink it in, and then I will finish it off with color pencils.
How'd you learn that technique?
You know, I just developed it as I went along through experimentation, and it works. It works really well. I like cards that are very colorful. Now, this particular one, here's the original right here. This one actually is an acrylic, but it's also water base. But most of the ones that I do are done with I start with watercolor.
Well, what I like about what you're doing, and you say, you know, you came up with this process, it's your own.
Yes, but I think from reading about the process that other artists use who mm-hmm. do illustrations, that they use a very similar mm-hmm. technique that I use.
Yeah, it's neat though. It looks I don't know how to describe it. It's not it's real light. It's kind of, but then it's got a little bit of it's got vibrant colors to it as well. So I don't know. It's beautiful.
And you can get that vibrancy with the colored pencils.
Yeah.
And then when you finish off, then you burnish it. Have you ever worked with colored pencils before?
When I was little, yeah. Mm-hmm. I worked with them all the time. And I personally am I need a brush with a lot of paint on it.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy drawing, but my best work is when I'm painting. I don't know.
I like illustrations. I love to draw. I've always loved to draw. And this technique works well for me.
I like illustrations, too. I'm really drawn to illustrations. I look at illustrations, and I get frustrated because I'm like, I can't do that.
Well, I get frustrated because I think, I can't paint like that.
Yeah.
So we just all have to find a way that works for us, that we enjoy.
Yeah, I agree. Do you feel that, are you inspired by living in Tennessee? Like, does that inspire, because I've been out to your house, and it's lovely, and you have a really nice view.
Thank you.
I'm sure there's lots of animals and birds and all kinds of things around. So
yes,
does that
there
inspire
are.
You?
And I think that is my inspiration. I get up very early, and because we live in front of a cornfield, it's flat, mm-hmm. and I see some of the most beautiful sunrises that you can imagine. And that's how I start my day every day, is I look at the sunrise. Sometimes I'll take pictures of it. Sometimes I'll do a little watercolor sketch of it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gets my day started with gratitude and appreciation and, you know, just inspiration.
Yeah. I like that.
But that's the nice thing about living in this area. There's so much beauty mm-hmm. around us that inspires us.
It's hard not to be inspired.
I don't know how you couldn't be. You just have to stop and take the time to do it.
Oh, I'm all about it. I'm all about just, like, taking the time just to enjoy life right now. I feel like for so long I just was, like, rushing around and not even, you know, taking a chance just to like look at the sunset, and now I'm like, I think it's crucial to being an artist is to just sit back and just chill, you know,
exactly,
and then just let that inspiration flow and just take it easy, just mm-hmm. relax. More of our conversation is coming up on The Scene here on Light Rock 95.9.
Welcome back to The Scene. It's brought to you by the Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. This is where we discover and uncover artists and their art form from around the Upper Cumberland. This is your art. First Fridays is something started by Art Round Tennessee, and the next First Friday featuring local artists will be May the 1st at Cookeville Performing Arts Center, and that will be from 6 to 9 p.m. And I have one of the artists that are going to be there, Josh Barnwell. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
So tell me a little bit about your work of art. You kind of use things found in nature, and you're a naturalist, and you make the prettiest necklaces and some other things that I've seen, too, on your Instagram page. So kind of explain your art to us.
Well, when I think about my art, it's kind of reflective of the cycle of the seasons. In the fall, I work on hide tanning a lot. And through the winter, I like to do more inside things. So I keep like sewing projects and wood carving. And then in the spring and summer, I make bark baskets that I peel while the sap is running. So everything that I do kind of depends on the cycle of nature and
kind of what you can find during that season.
Yeah, what's available during those times.
So do you actually use some of the hides that you tan and the baskets that you make?
I do, yeah. I do a lot of sewing projects with the buckskin that I make, and I use them in displays at my booth, and I also I use the baskets to forage with and get out in the woods, and I just try to bring them around and share them with other people.
So what do people say when they see your works? Because, I mean, nature is beautiful in itself, too, but then you create even more beautiful things. Are they shocked at what you can make from nature?
Sometimes, yeah, that seems to be something that people say a lot, is just, oh, wow, I've never seen such a thing, you know, and that's part of what I really enjoy about it, is being able to sort of bring these natural elements together in a way that people haven't seen before, that can kind of maybe help to spark a connection with them and get them outside.
Why did you choose to do the First Fridays?
It's kind of just part of my artistic journey, I guess. I've been, you know, working from home, and so this is just a great way for me to bring my art to the Upper Cumberland.
What made you get started in kind of foraging and finding things and making things out of nature?
Well, a lot of it was just, growing up out in nature, and, we didn't really have all the money to go run around and do other things, and so I sort of, both of my parents were, big into camping, and so looking through their old guidebooks and stuff when I was, 7 and 8 years old and reading about it just gave me this kind of thirst for more knowledge. And so, growing up, just wandering in the woods, I spent a lot of time picking up sticks and rocks, and so I'm still doing it, just doing a little bit more with them.
And you're trying to make a living off of that. That's pretty cool. So what is your favorite thing to make?
Oh, gosh, that's hard to say. I really get inspired when I do, when I make buckskin. It's just such a really visceral connection to the wild, and it's something that the process that I use is an all-natural process, so I do a lot of elbow grease instead of chemicals that modern tanneries use. Yeah, that's the one that I feel probably the most connected and inspired about.
They can see your work at CPAC, which is May 1st. At Cookeville Performing Arts Center. That's what CPAC is. And you can join Josh Barnwell there.
Thanks for having me.
Helping guide you on the path to a new craft. It's your art on the scene.
What's the process when you just receive inspiration on a piece? What do you go through? Do you act immediately, or do you take some time and think about it?
I like to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yourself, you can be inspired by just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of work in my head a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in business, when I was, doing custom picture framing, I worked in my head a lot. Unfortunately, it was at night when I was trying to sleep.
Mm-hmm. The brain starts right. Dancing. It's like a party.
Yeah.
All the lights are on and fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I usually take some time and think about it, and then I'll start doing sketches, and maybe I'll go on the internet and just look and, just get some inspiration there. But I usually work mostly in my head.
Yeah. And do you find that when you're doing a particular piece and you had that imagery in your head, are you able to translate it onto your paper exactly how you had it in your mind?
Eventually, maybe.
Is that important to you?
It is. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty methodical.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know about you, but it's just, for me, it's just never quite what I had in mind.
Never.
No, it isn't.
And I try not to beat up on myself, when I'm doing the painting, because I'm like, this is nothing like I had imagined.
Right.
And I used to go through this, thing where I'd start, Emily, why can't you just do what was in your head? This is not how you planned. But then it always comes out, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It carried that same emotion. It just wasn't translated from my mind on the canvas, but it had that same feeling that I wanted to interpret. So maybe that's the most important thing. Is that, I don't know, if you're going in one direction, it's not like, when you're driving in the store and then your map takes you exactly where you need to go. There's lots of detours,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you end up in the middle of nowhere, but you're really glad you're there because it's beautiful scenery. So I don't know. I try not to get too particular, but I always ask, I like to ask artists, I'm like, was it exactly how you imagined it to be?
And what do most of them say?
No.
No. Yeah, I can imagine that. That's the way it is for all of us.
The only ones that it usually is I'll find people who are doing pottery. They had this image and they drew it out, and then it was
mm-hmm.
it was more our woodworker.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be more precise, whereas we get to be more flowing and
yes.
just let that.
And
energy...
it's also easy to kind of get distracted.
Oh yeah.
I took a workshop from this. Abstract artist. His name was Bob Burridge. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, out of California. And he suggested that when you go out that you write your goal down.
Mm.
And it was kind of surprising because he was an abstract artist, but very disciplined. And he said, write down your goal, because if you don't, you're going to get distracted.
Yeah.
And it's so easy when you start working on something that you get into 5 or 6. Now, I'm really bad about it. I'll start to clean up my studio. It's sort of like I try to do everything I can to accept get myself focused on what I need to be doing.
It's just called ADD. That's all it is. That's all you're really dealing with ever.
Yeah.
I think as artists, we just... I can't stay focused. I just stop trying. I stopped trying to be everything I was trying to be and just accepted myself as I am. Just a scatterbrained artist, you know. And you gotta be okay with yourself. You just gotta wake up every day and say, I love you. It's okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so thank you so much for coming out. So I found you on the Off the Beaten Path tour, but how can our listeners find you?
Well, I have a website. It's Betty Turner Art.
Okay.
If they Google that, they'll find me. And I'm also Betty Turner on Facebook. And I've just started Instagram. I'm learning how to do Instagram. That's one thing that's been really fun is just learning how to use the internet.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. And it gives you a great opportunity to reach people.
Yeah, and it's an excellent tool that you might not have had when you were growing up. And,
oh, yes,
and
absolutely.
Imagine if you had had it then.
What,
you know?
Yeah, you think, what could I do now?
I know. So I try and stay grateful for the internet as much as it frustrates me a lot, social media. I say, well, I'm just grateful that it's here because I can reach a lot more people than
right.
I could just
right.
sitting,
it is a way to
hiding
reach
in
people.
My studio.
Right. Exactly. You
yeah.
can't. You have to take the time to create. You have to have that time.
Absolutely.
But then you have to go out and you have to
yeah.
find people
yeah.
who like your work and, you know, hopefully we'll buy it.
Well, if anybody out there is listening and they own a little boutique store, Betty's cards would go wonderfully in your store.
I have a couple of stores that carry
yeah,
my
I know
cards.
You, I know you do. I'm trying to get you like a huge account. Like
like
massive. Like,
oh, thank
a
you.
$1 million transaction.
I think I'd have to expand
hey,
tremendously.
You just never know what can
well,
happen.
You never know.
I
you never
put it
know.
Out there for you. Okay.
Right. And it's a lot of fun to learn about it.
Yeah.
And it's just a privilege to be able to do it. You know, I just really appreciate the opportunity to do that.
Stay grateful because more will come.
That's right. That's right. I agree.
Well, thank you so much.
Well,
we
thank you.
You. All right.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Raven Williamson of Raw Art. Hi, Raven. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for coming. So I found you on Instagram, and you're a local artist here in Cookeville, and I was super intrigued by your work. So it looks like you do a little bit of digital.
Yes.
You do some paintings.
Everything.
You do some drawings, and it's very, the first thought that came to my mind is, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yeah.
When people say that, they're like, I've never seen the colors used like this before, and I like to use a lot of bright contrast, so.
You do, and I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm most impressed with when I say crazy, it's, I don't even know how to, like, pick a different word than that because the subject matter is so, like, wow.
Yes. And that's the effect I try to have. I try to make people think about what they're seeing. Like, I want you to feel something from looking
yeah.
at it. So.
We're going to feel a lot when you look at your work. I'm, like, looking at it and I'm like, where did this come from? It's, like, magical. So, well, how old were you when you started?
I would say about 5 or younger. Like, I don't know if you know Lisa Frank, the coloring books and stuff.
Yeah.
I used to love those. So I got all into that. And in 5th grade, I had a friend that was really good at art. And it kind of made me want to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ended up taking a lot of classes and learning watercolor and acrylics. And I just loved it.
So were you, as a child, were you always just, like, doodling on the
yeah.
back of your work? And
yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of, my mom would always keep them, too, and be like, one day you're going to be a great artist. So
yeah.
She kind of, like, amped it up for me.
Good for you. Yeah. She believed in you.
Yeah, she did.
And I think that's really important when you're a child, is to have parents that are like pushing you in that direction.
And if it's your dream, like, and they support it, that's all you really need. Because it'll take you so far.
It will, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're mirroring back to you, you know, like you show them a picture and they're like, wow, that's incredible. And you're like, I know.
Yeah.
And so it builds you up inside.
It does. And she'd always say, draw this for me. Or, you know, I'd ask her, what should I draw today? So she was always really supportive of it.
I found you on Instagram. So what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Raw Art with 2 T's.
Okay. And then do you do Facebook?
Yes, I do. I'm just Raven Ariana Williamson on Facebook.
And you post your art on there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a little, like, side raw art page that's, like, connected to that, so.
And, have you gotten a website up yet?
I did have a website. It's a subscription.
Yeah.
So, it's still going, but by February, I may not renew it just because I'm kind of looking through options of different websites at the moment.
Well, how do you prefer for people to contact you?
Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm very active on that. And Facebook. I check that too. Just more active on Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate you coming out today. It was really nice chatting
with
you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks.